whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Well, thanks, John, for taking the time talking to us, actually.
Thank you.
Where are you now?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's just beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, everything's good. I can't complain.
You're going to be over here pretty soon, which is even more beautiful for us guys.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be beautiful for me as well. I'm so excited. I have all of my days planned out because I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk for a really long time and I'm going to see every place that I go to. And I'm just going to explore. So I'm super excited about it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've never played here before solo, right?
No, you're correct. I've never played. I've done UK. I've done a couple bits and pieces in Europe, but, you know, and I've been there with Motley and, yeah. And Rob and Zombie and Manson and all this stuff. But that's why I'm so excited to come on my own. I'm just really, really, really looking forward to this. And I know a lot of people say that when they're promoting a tour, but I was the one that really was, I want to go to Europe. We have to go to Europe. We have to do this year. So it's not just this year, but we're going to be coming back. I think, I don't want to talk out of school, but I think I might even be coming back next year too. I mean, because so we're going to make it like a thing.
That is a good thing you're making.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I know it sounds like a dumb question, but what can we expect? I mean, you have a gazillion records, like 10 or 11 studio records, and you play with half of the world. So how do you get to choose a set list what you're gonna do live here?
You know what it is? I want it to be so entertaining. And that's always difficult, you know. So there's going to be so many different styles of music that this is what would make me nervous before I even started playing live, because I do so many different styles of music. And I'm like, well, most of my audience are hard rock fans. But then if I break into some bluegrass song, people are going to be like, well, you know, they're not going to like it. But the bluegrass and the jazz and all that stuff is what people really love. They love it so much because there's not a lot of artists that could do really heavy, heavy, heavy music and then break into a bluegrass song, a traditional bluegrass song. I'm going to just make the show such a roller coaster, you don't know what's going to come next. You have no idea what's going to come next. And I think that's really, people really enjoy that.
It's a little bit funny because I might expect when you play Munich, I'm afraid that I'm going to be the only one in the audience who cannot play guitar.
Oh, it's, you know, it's
you're always in front of such an audience, probably.
Yeah, but it's funny. But there's a lot of non-guitar players there.
Okay.
And that's what's interesting. They just, because the show, I'm very, I'm with the crowd and I'm talking with the crowd. They're singing along. So they're very involved in the show too. So it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. And I'm not just saying that. People have told me this for years. And, you know, there's some people here when I tour here that come to all these shows. They come to, you know, sometimes they come to most of the tour, people that are just coming back and back and back. And yeah, even people that live here are flying to Europe to come see these shows.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's really fun.
Who do you bring along as musicians?
Well, I got a new drummer. His name's Joey. And he is he's all hair. You know, the Addams Family,
Cousin It. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. He's Cousin It. He's all hair, but he's so great. And I'm bringing him. So what I've been doing is it's just me and him, and we don't have a bass player, and it's crazy. It's crazy. People love it. But I am doing something next year. I don't want to say yet because I'm getting in trouble. But I am doing something next year that is going to change everything up. And it's really, really exciting. So
that's not fair making us curious.
I know. But it's really, I really can't say anything, but it's going to be something very, very, very special. But I promise we're going to talk again next year and I'll say, remember?
Now, you played with half of the music world, and you are one of the, you know, outstanding guitarists of our time and of your generation. But do you actually think you got all the merits that you actually deserve? Or is it, did the times change because there's, you know, you cannot be like Jimi Hendrix anymore because, you know, times are different or whatever?
It depends on the artist. If it's like Jimi Hendrix, we talked about, or Eddie Van Halen, these were geniuses, like real geniuses. We're not talking like, we're talking like, you know, because we throw the word genius around, but these are people that have changed the world with the guitar. So I think it's up to the artist. And I really think that it's what I love to do, and it's what I enjoy, and it's from the heart, and it's crazy guitar stuff, and people enjoy it. In my mind, in my eyes, I'm really happy with what I'm doing.
I know you are. You must be, you know, still, there's a lot of people. When it was, you know, publicly announced that you're going to be joining Motley Crue, a lot of people said,
yes.
"Well, what's he going to do in the evening? Because this is easy."
Oh, well, you know, that's a really good question. So when something is easy, you know, like let's say like Happy Birthday,
yeah,
one of the most well-known songs ever, but there's no arpeggios or no anything like crazy to that. I think it's more difficult to write something that's so unbelievable that will change people's lives and songs that will live on forever.
Yeah.
Then I think that's more difficult to do than, you know, some of the, you know, fastest guitar players in the world. Because if it was easy to do that, everybody would do it.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
What is your personal limit when it comes to playing the guitar? I literally cannot play this.
I have such a weird OCD that anything I can't play, I will work on and work on and work on and work on for months or anything until I get it. So I've always, whatever I try to accomplish, I accomplish just because that I'm so obsessed. It's like when you see these documentaries, people that climb mountains.
Yeah.
And they just go and they go and they go and they have to try again. They have to try again and try again. That's how I am with certain pieces of music.
That's amazing. Because amazingly enough, I talked to Steve Vai last week because he's going to be over here playing King Crimson. And he told me he had to practice for a year in order to get that stuff right.
Yeah. It's great because I love that he's doing that too. It's just, you know, you wouldn't expect that, but I love that about Steve, that he's doing that and really putting so much energy into that. It's incredible. It's so cool.
Is that a call that you would have liked to have gotten?
Any call I get, I'm so happy with. And I'm not just saying that. Whenever I have a guitar in my hand, I'm so happy. So sure, of course, I would have loved to gotten a call like that or anything else. It's just, to me, playing guitar, it's just, I think it's so important to me because it really gives me so much happiness and joy. And I'm so happy I found that in something that I do.
Okay. John, you are always seen, most of the times, I guess. I've never seen you without, I guess, makeup on stage.
I don't wear it with Motley Crue.
Right. Right, that's the only part. But then again, you do. Is it something you learn from Kiss, or is it something you do just, you know, just to fit into the mood?
I think that when I was very, very young and I saw Kiss and Alice Cooper, I thought, wow, look at this. And I was so young, it just really changed my life. Yeah. You know, it changed my life so much. But then when I saw bands like Jethro Tull and stuff like that, and they didn't have any makeup or anything, and I was so young, so it was more exciting with the makeup. So I kind of just did it with the makeup, you know, it was just more exciting. it's so elementary. I wish I had a better answer. But when we would show up to festivals like in Rob Zombie or Marilyn Manson or something, and we would go into the dressing room. We wouldn't have our makeup on or anything like that. But then when we came out, everybody wanted a picture. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. You know, just something so simple like that kind of answers a lot of questions to me.
That's, I understand that. Now, to the real important stuff, what is the holy grail in your KISS collection? And what is the holy grail you've been missing out?
The holy grail in my KISS collection is Gene's 1974, his very first outfit that he was touring with. It has a skull and crossbones on the back. I have that. That's the holy grail in my collection. But then the holy grail that I'm looking for, I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Because when somebody wants to sell that, they'll know, you know, I'm going to charge him an arm and a leg. So, you know.
Do you still have the KISS Museum open?
I'm going to open it next year because I'm a part of it. So I take people through it and I tell stories. It's a very intimate thing. So I talk to them about things and tell them stories. So I'm going to open that up again next year.
I mean, there must be a time when in a place where it comes to the John 5 Museum. How many guitars do you own, John?
I don't know. I have a lot, but there is a guy. There is a guy in Michigan who has a John 5 Museum. And it's got everything in it. It's really interesting.
Seriously?
Yes.
That's really cool. Is there something that you didn't remember?
Oh, lots. There's like all this fan club stuff from all over the world. There's all these ads from all over the world. Like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Itineraries and guitars and masks and all sorts of cool stuff. It's really fun.
You know, you've played with Manson, you played with Zombie, you play with Motley Crue now. You play with your cat.
My weird looking cat doesn't have a stitch of hair on him.
But it's good because I think it's very hot where you are right now.
Yes.
Is there any band you still want to be part of?
You know, who knows what future holds, but yeah. I love doing what I'm doing because I get a chance to be a part of this band's legacy. You know, like, here, let me take them out. Like Motley Crue or Marilyn Manson or something like that. You know, I get a chance to be a part of this legacy. And I think that's really, really special. I think that's super cool, is to be a part of the history. And so who knows what the future holds? So, you know, who knows? Maybe the Eagles or the Foo Fighters or who knows what the future holds?
All right. I have no more further questions, actually. I'm very much looking forward to seeing you here. I saw you with Manson. I saw you with Zombie. I didn't see you with Motley Crue, though. All right. Thank you very much for talking to us. It was fun.
Thank you.
It's good.
Take care. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Whole lot of talk, the interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rockin' podcasts.